Hello? Yeah.
Bree? Hi, it's
Hi.
Ruth.
How are you?
I'm great. Nice to be talking with you.
Oh yeah, you too. I just downloaded this app and I was literally just found you.
Well, I literally just found all your paintings, and they're
Oh, thank
amazing.
you. Yeah, I actually was gonna start painting today. I have the day off and I was like, all right, let me just pull out all my canvases and all my paint and figure out what I want to paint.
All your canvases, how many do you have that you're working on?
So I have probably like three. I also bought a big piece of plywood that I've been practicing like spray painting on. And it's kind of cool because I can just like practice and then paint it over and then practice. It's just like an ongoing canvas. Like when you paint it on a canvas that's solid and you buy from Michaels and it's expensive, you actually don't want to repaint it because you put so much time into it. But with the plywood, I don't feel like I'm wasting
Your art is based on the cost of the canvas.
it. Kinda.
That's so sad. Yeah.
It's kind of just like
Yeah,
because people can already hang that up in their wall, their house if they decided to buy it, versus a piece of plywood is just getting technique down and stuff. It's kind of cool.
when you buy a canvas at Michaels, I do it occasionally. When you buy a canvas at Michaels, do they have the hanging wire attached on the back already, or do we have to?
No, you usually have to do it yourself, or if it's like a. The canvas is usually like an inch thick that it's pretty lightweight that you can just hang on the wall with like nails or something.
Yeah, I have some very, I'll just say I have some very specific customers
Oh yeah,
sometimes.
they're
And if I told them just to hang it on the nail, they'd go crazy on
yeah,
me.
the string, the when you tie it with the string, it actually works too because you can center it better, you know, versus two nails. Like, oh my gosh, there every time I hang something on the wall, I'm like, great, I have to redo it because it's higher on one side.
It's terrifying.
Yes.
Because I mean, like, you're not going to sit there with a level, you know, or you're going to do it with your
Yes.
eyes. And you're like, I got this one. All right, now let me put the other one, and I got it. And then you put it
Yes.
up and you hang it on the nails, and it's crooked.
Yeah, I at one point I put all my art on the wall in my apartment and then it was there for like 2 months and then I took it all down and then I just kind of like I guess I don't know like stack my art away for a while and then I'll pull one out and hang it on my wall if I decide to like it or yeah I used to hang up a tons more like ton more a ton more. Now I'm kind of like, I'm still trying to find my style. I'm still trying to figure out what I like to do. And
I think you're almost there.
I actually just try to be open to everything. Like I'm really influenced by like graffiti, street art, and then I really like painting. So and I've had a lot of mentors this past year and a half,
Awesome.
and it's just like, yeah, my mind is just like so full of ideas and
Are you
like
talking about
styles.
you and the other two women painting the wall? Like they were mentors for you?
Oh yeah, there was a main artist. Her name's Jane Goat. She was actually the main artist on that wall. I think it was I'm gonna say 46 feet high, 48,
Okay.
42, somewhere around there, but it was huge.
It looked
Yeah.
huge, yeah.
That one was really fun. She actually interviewed some people to assist her, and I've been fangirling her on Instagram forever. Like I love her style and like I was just like this girl's not from here, like who is she? And yeah, I just kind of introduced myself and I asked her if she needed assistance and she said come talk to me and I ended up getting the job with her and that piece was so amazing just watching it come together and being able to assist on it like I actually touched the wall, you know? So that was super cool. It's super modern and retro and I like that style and I'm pushing myself towards that style. And surrounding myself around people that have the same style, I guess you could say.
Yeah. few pictures of y'all in progress, and then also when it was finished, y'all were like jumping for joy next to the crane. But it seemed to me like it seemed to me like it was a bunch of like linear thin rectangular type of images that were coming out from a centerpiece, right?
Yeah, she actually she was a designer for all that. It's the mural's based out of Central Phoenix, so the center point was Central Phoenix, off into like sections of Arizona, and it kind of looked like galaxy style. But yeah, that was all her vision, and she ordered a boom lift and was like, "Are you ready?" And I'm like, "Oh, I've never been in one this high. Like, I actually never been in one. I've been in a little scissor lift before, but never a boom, which goes all directions, you know." So that was, she's never operated one, so we kind of went up there together. It was so fun.
Wow. And so you were way up at the top.
Yeah, it's different, you know, like painting at home in your bedroom, and it's just so, it's like a closed door.
Yeah, comfortable.
Painting outside, like helicopters can drive by and see it, and people driving to work can see us, and people walking. I think that's why I really like murals too,
yeah, that's because that's half of it right there, right? The fact that
yes,
you're in the elements.
It's almost like a, not show, I guess it's like showing off, but it's also, it's life, it's living, it's outside, you can hear birds, you can hear cars, and it just takes you, even if you're listening to your music, you still get that like nature's like breeze, and it's such a cool feeling to paint outside.
Yeah, because I also saw that you were painting ramps. You put the deer horns,
the cow skull thing, yeah,
the cow skull thing, and
yeah,
that's painting outside. That was really cool. But were they jumping the ramp while you were doing it?
No, so I've actually been skateboarding for, oh my gosh, like 20 plus years. My brothers got me into it, and I've always, there's a skate park here in Arizona called Desert West Skate Park, and me and my brothers have been skating there since we were little, and there's always been super cool artwork and graffiti. And I swear, since I was little, I was like, one day I'm going to meet these artists. And one day, like, it's just cool that they're bringing art into skateboarding. Because most skateboarders, if they don't do artwork, they support artwork. And I actually, a friend brought me out. It's a big event in Arizona called Phoenix Am. And skateboarders come from around the U.S. and stuff to compete to become pro.
Phoenix Am.
And yeah. It's actually a super cool event. And I went out one night just to support my friend that was painting there. And they said, go ahead and ask the big boss, like, if you can paint a piece. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't have my paint. Like, that'd be so cool if I was able to paint a piece here, because I've always dreamed of it, you know? And like, now I'm here. And he went and had, he was like, he kind of paused, and I got really nervous. And he's like, yeah, go ahead. You can have that little piece right there. And my heart, like, sunk into my stomach. And I'm like, I didn't have paint. So I was like, I got to do something about it. And someone let me use a can, and I kind of just marked it. And I came back the next morning, early in the morning, with my, like, bucket of paint or whatever. And I just started painting. And it was a good feeling to get approved, to get my art on somewhere where I admired since I was little, you know?
Yeah, that's a huge moment. So when you were little and you saw the skate park, did you have any like ideas of what you might paint in the like future Sabree?
No, that was the hard part. So once I built up the courage to ask him, his name is Lalo. He's actually a really good artist here in Arizona. Really big in the graffiti scene, and his artwork's everywhere. Like, I've known his name for about 5-8 years, but I've actually never met him till a few months ago. But no, he said, you can paint that piece. And I kind of just froze, and I was like, what am I going to paint? So I guess I just looked at I take photos of stuff I'm influenced by. And then I just go back in my phone and look at it. And
mm-hmm.
I felt like cow skull represents Arizona. It's kind of deserty. And then there's a guy named Shaggy that did the backdrop, which was bones, and it kind of looked like a graveyard, boneyard, whatever. And it just fit. It just worked out. I was so excited for that day. And then the next day was when all the skaters were competing, you know, and it was on webcast and all over Instagram, and I was like, that's me. Like, that little piece of artwork is me, you know? So that was really cool. Hello?
Hey.
Hi.
So we got cut off. I was saying, holy shit. Because, like, so much was converging at that moment for you.
It was a good definitely felt like unreal. I know a lot of the other artists had bigger pieces, and of course they've earned it because they've been painting the skate park. They do it every year, but for me to be able to even paint a little section of it, I was like, no better feeling. I was like, I skateboard, I've been looking forward to this. Not even looking forward, it just kind of, the opportunity came to me. And not being afraid to talk to people and ask them, can I paint? You know, that's the only way I'm getting out right now, is putting myself out there and talking to people.
So is it like street art rules where you can't cover up someone else's work?
Yeah, it's like disrespectful. You got to actually like kind of ask permission, or if the owner of the artwork is like, yeah, let's redo this, then yeah, it's open, you know, but.
But like a punk like me couldn't come along and spray paint like a bunch of upside down Starbucks logos.
No.
Like, that's not cool. That's not cool.
I don't think so. It depends. Sometimes there's like art events where they're like live painting, and people just, that's kind of how I started to get out. I was just like, I want to paint outside. I want to paint around people. And
I saw you doing one sitting outside.
What was that?
I saw one, you were sitting outside painting yourself.
Yeah, I love being outside. And I also think murals are really challenging because I'm kind of hyper and I like to paint fast. And when it's a mural, your canvas just is 46 feet high. You can't do it fast, you know? Like, it challenges me to kind of slow down and, like, live in the moment. And I'm working on a mural right now too, or assisting on a mural, and it's super awesome being in that scissor lift or boom and kind of like, I don't know, above everyone in a sense. It's just having a little bit of power and being able to do what I love. So it's a good feeling.
So that was commissioned to the head artist, the first mural. And so they paid for the boom and everything.
Yeah.
And so that's a building no one's going to touch.
No, it's kind of like set in stone. I don't know how that really works. I'm getting better at learning like the business side of it, because if I want to do this as a living, you know, it's kind of like you got to know the business side. And it's interesting. It's actually like almost a second job, like learning how to market yourself. And I do some freelance graphic design on the side. So
yeah, I saw that.
Dude, so life is just like, I just feel like art just spun off for me, and there is times where I'm like, this is hard. Like, how do people live off this? How do you make ends meet? You know, like one day I have a job and one day I don't, and it's just like, you gotta not want to stop doing it, because eventually it pays off. But it took a while for me to start paying off.
Yeah. Well, you know. You got, which is what I'm looking for in all these interviews. I mean, you got the hunger, and with that will come success.
Thank you, dude. Yeah, I'm definitely hungry for art. I can't sleep. You know those nights where you just dream about it, and next day you're like, it's one of those things where you can't stop thinking about it, and I can't stop wanting to create art, even if it's just doodling or messing around. Like, I want to do that every single day of my life, and I'll never get tired of doing it, because art is so open. Like, I'm doing mosaic pieces with CDs. I didn't think that was gonna take off, and it did. And
yeah, I saw that. That was that 6x6.
I've done two CD pieces. They're about 4 feet by 4 feet.
Okay, the yin yang.
Yeah, that's. I just did that as a community project, and it turned in more people want one now. So that was really cool.
Do you even know what a CD is?
Yes. I'm still old school. I still know some stuff. Okay. I actually listened to, I'm trying to think of my first CD. I think it was, I was like obsessed with Christina Aguilera.
Britney Spears?
No, I was team Christina Aguilera. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. You were a Christina fan, not a Britney fan.
Yeah.
Or a Mandy Moore fan.
I kind of like Mandy Moore, not gonna lie. I don't know what happened to her, but.
Jeannie in a Bottle? That was hot. Come on.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I saw the yin yang. I mean, you have so much beautiful work. Like, it was like I was scrolling down your IG, and it was like what's next, boom boom boom, and there was like just they kept coming, and that is very rare for me to see.
It's all random, but I'm just pushing art. I have to be secluded to one thing, you know. That's what art is. Just go for everything. Try everything. Like, you don't have to just paint. You can make art literally with anything.
So I like, well, my favorite is The Little House. I couldn't figure out what it said.
Oh, that's the Dragon Ball Z house.
Dragon Ball Z house.
Okay. Or something like that. I painted it for my little brother. He's been begging me since Christmas. Like, where's my painting? And it's my brother, so I'm like, you're not a customer, like, you're not paying me, but I just got down to painting it for him.
I like how the words were upside down.
Oh yeah,
that really spoke volumes. You do different stuff. Like, I saw some black ink stuff you did. I saw some green and white, really kind of tight, lines and stuff like that. And, but I want to talk about the CD painting, because that I do a lot of attaching to wood or to canvas as well. So with that one, how did you get inspired? I can imagine how you got CDs. I mean, you could probably just get them like on Craigslist. Like,
no, that was the hard part.
Really?
I actually. You know how the back of CDs have like rainbows and they're kind of like pretty and glittery, totally. And shiny. And I remember my friend's mom, one of my best friend's mom, she decorated her daughter's room, which is my best friend, with CDs backwards, and like the light would shine in her room. And I just remember being like really inspired by that. And I thought CDs would be easier to come around, and they were. I went to Goodwill and they're like, we can't sell CDs because of the content on them or the music on them, and so that's how I fell into.
Oh, they don't curse on records. Sorry, Goodwill.
Yeah, I know. Right? I love Goodwill though too. So I ended up going to a record store called Bookman's. I don't know if you guys have them where you're stationed.
We don't, but I also want to talk about the boombox. You know I do,
dude. Yeah, that's how. Okay, so I went to Bookman's and I said, do you guys have any CDs you can sell me or donate? And a girl named Lori actually was like, yeah, dude, we have 3 boxes. Like, what are you going to do with them? Because
no way.
They usually donate them to veterans and stuff like that. So I was like, I'm making an art project. And they're like, so you're recycling them? That's awesome. Like, we need to get rid of them, but we don't want to trash them, you know, because
I didn't even think about that. You're actually taking them out of the world. You're doing a wonderful recycle project.
Yeah, it's good all the way around, and I was excited for that because it's becoming more of a. I have another one coming up at the end of the month for a yoga event in Mesa. So, yeah, it just feels good to recycle. Like, people trash these, and there's no use for them, but they're so pretty and like a little.
All right, let me see.
A little bit of glue.
Let me see how intense you are, or specific you are. If I was doing the CDs, I OCD would have to, like, I don't know, have the CDs relate to one another somehow. The shapes, of course, make it. But did you do any parts of it, or like you wanted like a Christina Aguilera CD next to a Britney CD or something like that, or no? You didn't even care.
No, the funny part is my older brother's really into music. Like he plays bass. He knows all about any type of music. And he was like,
Wonderful.
wait, before you break these, like who you better not be breaking a Johnny Cash CD or the Beatles. And he actually was digging through the pile before I could even break them. It's funny.
Okay, so you didn't give a shit at all who it was. It was just shapes for you.
A lot of them were like, yeah, it was just shapes. A lot of them were like one hit wonder people that I've never heard of and stuff like that. But I don't know.
So you said that was first of all, say your name, your full name, so everyone knows you, and your Instagram handle so everyone can find you, things like this.
Okay, my name is Sabri Garcia.
Yeah, I called it wrong. I'm sorry.
Sabri. It's a crazy name. And then my Instagram is Sabri. That's Sabree dot art. That's my Instagram page for my artwork. All types of artwork.
Sabri. Yeah, so sorry, I usually when I start, I usually like say my name and then ask, and then usually the other person says their name. But I thought I had your name down. I was just like being totally
I think
confident.
you were
I was like,
close, dude.
yeah, so I was like Sabri all the way. I was like, I got this. What's up, Sabri? Say Sabri. So you said that the yin yang. We can move on if you want to. But you said that the yin yang was for a public type of display.
Yeah, so the yin yang, I got brought out to do a community project for another yoga event, and I got asked to be featured artist, and the guideline was to have people be included. So I was like, crap, what am I gonna do? And I've never done this before, so I was like, I have to make it work because I'm already spending money on wood and glue, and I cut a bunch of CDs with my own hands. My hands were all bloody and gross, but
Yo, that's awesome.
and so they asked me to come out to a Tempe festival, and people were able to doodle on the CD pieces and write their name or write a quote. It was actually really cool. And then I didn't finish that day because how many CDs it takes to cover.
How many?
Like, oh man, I've been going through so many CDs, but it's kind of cool. It really pays off. They actually had it on display at a festival a few months later after that, and everyone was stopping by and taking photos of it. And I kind of got some recognition that way. So
No, it's
thanks,
very.
Tempe. Tempe, t downtown Tempe really pulled me out as an artist.
There's this artist, from the '90s, like with Andy Warhol and all of them, is Julian Schnabel, and he makes like artsy films and stuff now in these recent years, and that's exactly what his art looks like. It's like they're huge, but it's
Really?
like all, but yeah, it's all like broken pieces of like China and stuff like that he like cements on. Yeah, it's a lot of that.
Whoa, I'll have to check that out. Yeah.
Julian Schnabel.
Snow.
Schnabel. A lot of people don't like him because he's a jerk.
There no art. I guess all artists are kind of jerks in a sense.
Yeah.
Are not a jerk, but different. You know, that's what makes us different.
We're all a little jerky. But you know what? We're all having fun though, because like whenever.
We're all doing it for the same reason, for like whatever it is, for anxiety, for stress, for confidence. Like I feel like art is for everyone. Like people that don't do art, I don't know, dude, there's so much good things to talk about art. It's an expression. It's like,
So if I say that we are, you, me, and others, we are the most evolved, advanced artists in human life. Does that make sense to you?
a little, yeah, I can see it.
There's nobody in front of us.
And
Everyone's everyone.
art's so unique because everyone, you know, someone can we can all paint flowers, but our flowers are all going to be different, and
Yeah,
it
so
makes you diff it makes you individual. It's so cool.
speaking of your flowers, that was also one of my faves, was you made flowers, and then you had your I don't know what black marker you use, and then you wrote love and create and graffiti words around the flowers.
Oh, yeah, that
There
one.
was some dripping too.
Yes. Dude, that one, I actually am not, it's right here. Like, I'm staring at it, but I'm a girl and I like being girly, but I also like street art and that tough, like, not background, but it just is like hardcore. It shows like graffiti artists, you know, they're more like underground. And then there's flowers that are like, I just like the twist on that. I like the concept of just because you're girly doesn't mean you can't like graffiti. Or just because you're a guy, you can't like flowers. Like, guys like flowers, you know?
Yeah, I do know. I love flowers.
That's
My
awesome.
favorite.
Plants and flowers.
I have a plant named Andy here.
Oh, yeah, you're supposed to name your plants. I love plants, man. I've been buying them like nonstop.
Yeah, of course you gotta talk to them. You gotta let them know what's up.
Gotta keep them alive, which I have a hard time.
Well, I had to learn with this plant just a very little water, and it's doing fantastic. It was actually someone who had cancer. Someone got it as a gift and they couldn't have a live plant in their house. But don't worry about it, because that person just told me this morning that their cancer is 100% gone. So
Oh, that's so awesome.
yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So we got another one on the good side, winning the game. The one of your paintings that I said was ridiculous, that might have been one of the most recent you've done, probably, because it was up at the top. The real close up of the flowers and the leaves, but it's done in such a pop kind of vibrant way.
Oh, yeah. I think that's my messing around on that plywood. I buy some cans, or I get cans donated because they're kind of pricey. Like, it's $6 for a spray can. And I mean, that's my practice sheet. So I'm just trying to practice how to blend and how it sprays and how it works. It's just like a pencil. Like, it's a brand new utensil for me. And yeah, I have fun with color. I like colors. I like obviously a bunch of glitter and girly and pinks and bright yellows. And I don't like to wear bright colors, but I like to paint bright colors.
Me
And
too.
I have like all black gear and earth tone colors clothes, and then I paint like super bright.
But you can walk into a store with your hoodie up and sunglasses on, though, right? Like, people aren't too like intimidated.
No, I don't think I'm intimidating.
Yeah, I have. I wear a black hoodie, and my beard grows in, and wearing black sunglasses, and everyone starts grabbing their bags.
They're all terrified or like, who is this guy?
Yeah, exactly. But I live in a very small town. I live near West Palm Beach in Florida. And so there's not a lot of graffiti around here. I've done some myself. I did a lot. I talked about Starbucks. I did a lot when Starbucks was being boycotted. It was like a year or two ago.
Nice. That's cool.
They kicked some people. You might remember this. They kicked some people in Boston. They kicked them out of the Starbucks. They were sitting there waiting for their friends, and they kicked him out. There was this whole big thing, and
Oh,
Starbucks had,
really?
yeah, and Star they, yeah, they were two black guys, and they were just sitting there waiting for they were gonna be talking business or something, and they got kicked out
Yeah.
from an employee called and got them kicked out. And so Starbucks actually shut down for
Whoa.
like a full day, which is not enough, but they shut down for a full day, which is fine. And they worked on all this stuff with everybody in the whole company. And so me, like a lot of people, boycotted them for quite some time. And so I was going around, I was doing upside down Starbucks, but I just had my Starbucks this morning, so I'm back in.
Yeah, it sucks you back in. Same. I'm like, I hate Starbucks, and then here I am every day in the drive-thru. I'm like, how are they doing this to me?
Yeah, they're doing it, man.
I think it's just so convenient because there's almost at every corner. So there's cool coffee shops, but you got to drive. And if you're obviously in a hurry or busy, there's Starbucks. Like, Starbucks never fails. It's right there everywhere you go.
You ever order from your app?
Dude, yeah, all the time. I work actually across, I work walking distance from a Starbucks. So I do Starbucks runs like 5 times a day. I get paid to go to Starbucks for all my employees, basically.
Wow. I used to have to get coffee for someone too. Are you like
I'm
the
kind of
coffee?
stuck on the. I get green tea. I actually don't drink coffee.
Whoa, you don't, you're just naturally like this.
Hyper. Yeah. I have so much energy all the time. And like, I think that's another reason why I like painting. It slows me down.
Oh yeah. When you, first of all, how long have you been actually like painting, let's just say, quote unquote, sort of seriously, or just realize that, hey, I really love this and I want to continue doing this?
I would say for the past, I'm going to say seriousness, probably like the last 5 years. I've always liked art. I wanted to be an art teacher. I actually applied and had an interview to be an art teacher. And I didn't get it, but I've every subject in school, art was my favorite. I was part of the art nerds, you know, like that was my comfort zone. And I had to get a job, and I had a son at a really young age, and I couldn't really do as much art as I wanted. But now I kind of just put that as a priority. Like that's everything, you know, like, well, my son's everything, but I got to put what I love in front of work. So I've kind of sacrificed dropping down to part-time just so I could more. And it's a big sacrifice, but it pays off. Like you have to really, like you said, you have to be hungry. You have to want it. You have to make changes, get out of your comfort zone. And that's exactly what I did. I told work, like, I can only work so many hours. They're like, why? Why don't you work full time? And everyone calls me crazy. Like, my coworkers are like,
oh, no.
That's dumb. Like, you should work full time. Like, no, I shouldn't work full time. I should do what I love full time.
Did they say that's dumb?
Pretty much, yeah.
People are so silly.
Well, it's because there's, you know, like, people that work Monday through Friday, they're so miserable and they hate life. And people tell, you know, you made it when people are like, I wish I could do what you're doing. And I'm like, you can. Like, what do you mean you wish? Like, you're the only one stopping yourself, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. There's a lot of artists out there. A lot of artists suck. A lot of artists are good and a lot of artists are great. And then, of course, you have your superstars. And I guess there's probably a customer for everybody, right? I mean, you're going to
connect. Yeah, there's different styles for sure.
Yeah, you're going to connect with somebody. You know, I mean, I interview people, and I'm not just interviewing artists whose work is sick and awesome. Of course, yes, that's my goal. But also, I'm interviewing people whose work that I personally think sucks, but I see something in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like some potential. It's it's basically like they're headed in the right direction, or they're going somewhere, or.
Well, like, I'll give you a perfect example. My nephew, always the art kid growing up. Everybody in my family, everyone, all my friends, it was like, that was me. Like, Rob loves, you know, to do art.
Yeah.
And yeah. And that's what they called me when I was little. And so, and then so that was always that. So I was like, oh, that's just me. And that's just what I do. And so that's what I'm doing. And that's what I'm doing. And then I saw my little nephew. They all have art pages in this school. Like now, when you go to art class, you probably know with your son, they get their own page, and the parents can, you know, pay for prints and stuff like that.
Cool.
And so when I first started seeing his paintings, like, no one else in my family saw it, you know? And I was like, this kid's really good.
Yeah.
And he's going to be insane when he gets older. And the reason why I noticed that was because when all the other kids in the class are just, and they're all amazing too, don't get me wrong, kids are the best artists, but they're just, you know, finger painting.
They are, man. Kids are, that's one of the reasons why I want to be an art teacher. They have no, have no filter. Their mind is just so free, and they're not molded into robots yet. So they're creative, and like, you've seen quotes where like the artist is the creative adult, or the creative kid that never grew up or something.
Yeah, Picasso says they're the best artists.
Oh, they are, man. I sometimes I volunteer for some art stuff down here with kids, but I'm like, these kids are better than me, and they don't know that because no one tells them that, and they just get shined down, and they don't like it. Maybe they drew and it looked awesome, but I feel like every kid has potential to become a great artist too.
Yeah, because I asked my nephew, but what I saw, what I noticed was that was different from all the other kids. And you can look for this when you see kids art now, is it's the mental processing that is going on with him, where he does something, he does it, he comes back to the first thing, and then he paint, you know, adds to it, and then, you know, I mean, it's a whole layer concept,
oh,
if you will.
Cool.
And that's where I knew his brain was working. He's not just drawing trees and drawing people. He's actually looking at composition. He's going back and he's adding to things and this and that. And
that's awesome.
So, but then I asked him, cause you know, you never want to push a kid into art, you know? So I asked him, I was like, hey man, I was like, you know, your stuff's better than mine. You know, is this something that you want to start doing at home and all that sort of stuff? He's like, oh no, that's just something I do at art.
I know. Isn't that crazy? Like, some of the best artists they're just like, yeah, that's crazy that you said your nephew.
My nephew, yeah, he's a little boy, and he's about 8.
Okay.
And I want to sign my name on him.
For real, you're like, you're what's it called, a record deal? Like, you're mine. I'm your manager.
Yeah, I'm your, but I want to sign them. I want everyone to think they're mine.
Yeah, that's actually cool, and I think that's good for mentors to have, like, a little person look up to you, because they have the talent, they have it, they just don't know which. They don't know what direction to go, and they have to have that one mentor to tell them. My mentors have all told me, and I'm like, I'm kind of hard on myself. I'm like, I'm not as good as you, and kind of a brat. I'm mm-hmm. learning to be like, they see something in me, and why else are they having me learn with them? So I just want to be like that to other kids too, and bring them out of not thinking they're good or art is boring, because it's fun, you know? And if they're good, it's,
well, I guess
it's funner, if that's a word.
I guess as a parent, though, when your son was bringing home, you know, drawings every day, I mean, you can't love everyone, right? Not everyone goes on the fridge.
Dude, I love fridge. I think there should be an art gallery with fridge art, because every time I go,
oh my god, that's so genius!
When I go to anyone's house, I just look for the kids. Oh. I like the dogs that have, like, long legs, or like they make their cat their family like. Kind of like the little family tree.
The long-legged dogs. I know you're talking about.
Yes. Or I love the big hands where they just draw, like, big circles for the fingers. And it's just the cutest characters I've ever seen in my life. And fridge art is one of my favorite, actually. Like, style. Not style, but it's cute. It's innocent.
All right. So, talking about that, because I think this is probably the most interesting conversation that I've had. What are we supposed to do? Like, I'm in the same boat as you. I am no better, no worse. We're both starving, emerging artists who love what we do, and we're hungry. So we're in the same boat. And I'm in the same boat with every single person I interview, because we're all under the same category. But what do we do, you and me and others, what do we do to get back to that childness, that innocence, that freaking thing where you put us against a kid and you can't tell the difference?
Yeah, that's actually, it's hard, because as you grow older, you have rules. And I think that's where it starts, is rules. And a lot of art teachers are crazy and funny, and that's why they do art. And I think the kids that trust their art teacher or mentor are the ones that are going to stay creative. And if they can kind of mentor us as well. I think the more you work with kids, the more creative we could be, I guess. I don't, it's actually really hard to go back to. I know exactly what you're talking about. The internet's kind of hard, social media, kids now have to compete, and it's scary, even as adults. Like, you know, I go on Instagram and I won't do art for a week because I feel like my stuff sucks, and I'm learning how to step away from it. And one of my mentors told me, just paint what you like, paint what you want in your house, and if other people, not everyone's going to like it, but if you like it and you don't sell it, it's going to be in your house, you know? So you got to do something you like.
Paint what you like. Paint what you want in your house. That is a very profound quote.
Yeah, it's Lauren Lee. Her name's Lauren Lee, dude. She's that's one of the quotes that stuck with me.
Because they tell writers the same thing. They're like, write about what you know.
Yeah, you're going to be more not comp, it's gonna show, you know. You just do what you love. If you're good at drawing flames, dude, push it, like, go for it. And that's your talent, or if, at least use it, use what you can, use what you've learned, and also work around it to create something you want in your home.
Where do you draw your passion from? Where do you draw your visuals and images from?
I would say that I'm like,
and stuff.
Like what I'm influenced by, or what inspires me, or more of like what?
Yeah. Well, I know what inspires you. You like to go around town and little images. Something so small could inspire you. I think that's fantastic. You're easily inspired because you're open to it. But like when you're painting at home, do you have an idea of what it is that you're going to do? Do you just go for it?
This is another thing I've learned from being an assistant. I used to paint with no concept. Like I was like, because I like abstract, and I've seen your work, and it's kind of like abstracty, and that's the fun part of it, because you don't know what it's going to be. You just go for it. But now I'm learning you actually have to have, you don't have to have anything. Like art, there's no rules. But I'm learning the outcome becomes better if you kind of like do a rough draft. And I never did rough drafts. And maybe I'll do my next painting and call it rough draft. You know, like I just, you almost the concept. Like, yeah, I'm going to have abstract. But what another thing I learned in art school was like hierarchy. Like what's going to be the main focus? What's going to be second focus, third focus, if that's what I'm wanting, you know?
Wait, I didn't know you went to art school.
Yeah, I went to school for graphic and web design, but I had some good teachers. Dude, I'm so thankful. I've had some really good teachers, and I've learned a little bit from all of them, and I'm really hyped, you know, like I really feel like I don't pay attention, but I really do, and some stuff just sticks with me.
So I took I've taken art classes, but two art classes I failed. One was photography, but that was like back when you use the old school ones where you turn the knobs and stuff. Like,
crappy cameras, and you have to develop them yourself.
Yeah, you go in the dark room, so I just couldn't figure it out, so I failed. And then the other one was graphic design. And I thought my whole life, because that's actually what a lot of people tell you. When you're an artist, when you're little, and then you're an artist in your teens, and then you start looking towards colleges, right? People, friends, family, they start getting real rational with you. And they're like, okay, what are you going to go to college for with art? And you're like, oh, I don't know, graphic design. There's a career. I can always do something graphic design. And that's what a lot of people do, right?
Yeah, because when a lot of artists, and I heard your last interview with, I forgot his name, he went to school for photography. And I went to school for photography too. And they're like, want to try this new program called graphic design. I was like, what's that? So I'm in like a weird generation where I like.
You didn't know what it was?
I had no idea what graphic design was. And I started college, like I'm 29, but I started college right out of high school. And graphic design was like unknown, man. No one really knew. It was unknown, and it wasn't popular. And it was kind of like, now it's like everyone needs a logo, everyone needs a graphic designer, and it's fun. I like both worlds, but it's hard, man. My sketchbook is now sometimes the computer, and I like both. Sometimes I want to be on the computer, sometimes I want to paint. So I try not to.
So I failed. I failed graphic design as well. I was bringing pizzas in every class for everybody, so I did pass the class. He gave me an A.
That's
only
cool.
Because of that, but when I was doing on the computer first time ever,
that's awesome.
It's a whole different medium. I was like, yo, this shit is hard, man.
Are you talking about graph? Sorry, you're cutting out a little bit. Graphic design's hard.
Yes, very. It was for me. Yes, very hard.
Learning the programs, because they're like, you're gonna make a logo, but here's this program, and I'm like, why isn't there just one big program for everything? And
I can do it now. Like, you know, with all the apps and stuff, I can do it now. Okay. And I can do whatever I want on there and then duplicate that into a painting or whatever. But I mean, it is good, because there are those days where you're too tired to paint, you know, and like you want to, but you can't, for me, I got to stretch a canvas and, you know, that whole thing. So I'll just go online.
It's kind of breaking a lot right now.
Oh. All right, hang on.
Okay.
Can you hear me better?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I can hear you a little bit. Sorry, I was walking around too, so that's probably why.
No, don't worry about it. So I was just saying that that now I can do it with all the apps and stuff.
Oh,
I can do
a lot of people say YouTube University. Like, where do you go to school? And then they'll just be like, YouTube University.
I never heard that. That's
funny. Yeah, someone told me that. But everything I learned at school, besides the instructors that had knowledge that no one else knows from YouTube, I think it's teachable on YouTube. Like, I would do homework and I would come home and YouTube it anyways because I was like, I don't get it. But it's honestly pressing buttons. It's literally pressing buttons. And I worked in print shops, so that kind of helps too.
I get artist questions all the time about building canvases. And so I put a video on my YouTube, and it was a 7-foot canvas I was building, but it's all, you can shrink it down. You can use all the same techniques. And because I was looking for a video, not to learn how, but just to see if anyone had them. And it really wasn't out there too much. But the point is, if somebody watches my video, has no idea how to do it, they can pretty much build a canvas.
Yeah, canvas, dude, I think that's an awesome YouTube video because canvases aren't cheap. And if you can make your own, you can build it however, whatever size you need it to be. So that's really cool.
So do you know when your first show was?
Yeah, my first art show, I'll have to look at Instagram. I'm bad at dates. It's probably 2 years ago. I actually got pulled out to be a featured artist, and I was like, what? No way. And it was in California.
Did you ship him?
No, he wanted me to live paint for what's it called? Not Rasta, but I'm trying to think of the type of music. Like rockabilly, I guess, style music.
Reggae?
Yeah, kind of like a reggae ska band. And they're actually really good. And nothing big, just a small venue in California. And I took my friend and we stayed in a hotel. And I think I painted like a cactus on a skateboard. And that was my first, I sold it that night. And the guy was like, how much do you want it for? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I just painted it. Like, I have no idea. I didn't think I was going to sell art there.
Enough to get back, right?
Yeah, dude. And he gave me $100 for it. And I gave the $100 to my friend. And I said, here's some gas money to get me up here and back. It was awesome. Yep.
Wow. First of all, $100 is a really good sale for your first sale, considering that so many people on OfferUp sell, you know, $5, $10, $15. That's really good. And then the fact that you drove your son to California, I don't know many people that would do that.
Yeah.
Just for an opportunity.
I take my son, if I'm allowed, like if it's cool and if it's kid friendly, like I'll take my son with me. He enjoys it. He's kind of like a preteen right now, so he's almost too cool to hang out with mom. But he always tells people, my mom's an artist, and I'm like, oh, like my heart, like, it breaks because someone else is, he's referring me, his mom, as an artist, and it feels good.
Wow, that's really awesome. Sounds like a great kid.
Yeah, it's super sweet.
So I know you get inspiration from around town. I know that you might do a pre-draw or sort of study. Explain what the 1-2-3 is, because I don't know what that is either.
The hierarchy stuff? So usually, like, it never made sense to me. You know how, I don't know, a lot of people say, like, less is more, and it doesn't hit you till you're older. You're like, oh, crap, it is. You know, sometimes less is more. That rule kind of stuck with me since high school. But the hierarchy, it's a lot in digital world and it's a lot in painting world because there's obviously a main focal point. Like if you're painting a tiger on the wall, that's your focal point, you know, and secondary focal point might be the trees behind it. But if you have too many of the main focal points, it's kind of like science, dude. Not even science. It's just like a layout, almost a layout design mentality.
Composition.
It's just kind of like having the viewer's eye, you know, like visual balance. I learned a lot of terms in graphic design, like going to school for it. But having visual balance and making sure the weight of someone's eye, like when they look at your painting or they look at your art, it doesn't look, we're human, you know, we know what stands out intentionally. And you can kind of work with that with art. And I'm not a pro at it yet, but I can see how that comes about, helping artists having what they want people to notice and see has to pop out at you. And then there's secondary, and it doesn't have to come in threes. It's just usually like there's a main focal point and then there's not, and then it just depends on the artist too, I think.
I just did one. I just did a commission. You probably saw the comics paintings.
Oh, cool. I need to check them out. I have you on all social media, so I'm like, which one do I look at? I have you on Facebook and Instagram and my other Instagram.
So the client ordered four. They're 3x3. He ordered four, and he didn't like the execution, is what he said on the fourth one, and one of my friends did, so I gave it to them. But it was like a drip background, kind of, you know, a bunch of color drips, and then I just slapped Wonder Woman in the middle, and he didn't like that composition. So that might be what you're talking about, because technically the two really don't work that well together.
Yeah, I'm learning that too, because I as well like paint drips and paint splatters, but it just has to work. And I think the more you believe in your painting, the more other people will. So if you can sell them, I've learned this too. If you can sell them, sorry, here's your key. You got to see what's good about it, because obviously we're our biggest critiques and we're like, ew, we hate our paint. Like for me, I'm like, gross. It looks dumb. Like I hate it. Ew. Yeah, ew. But
you just go up to your canvas and like, ew, I hate it.
Then I find out what I like about it. I'm like, well, that blue is really like calming, and it's a really cool photo. Mm-hmm. And this paint splatter brings some energy and some vibration and some rhythm into the painting. And you can just go off of that, and then they buy into it, and you almost convince yourself that it's awesome too. And then you start liking it, because I've hated all my paintings until I found the good parts of it, and I just go off of that.
Now, the flowers that were done on the wood recently with the bright pinks and purples and blacks, the one I said is ridiculous. I love that. And that's also a lot different than anything you've ever done. Where did that come from? And do you want to incorporate more of that style into your work? Or was that just a one-off?
That one was a kind of funny story. I was helping my mentor clean out her art studio, and she's like, well, she gave me actually a really cool case, and there was like six cans, and she goes, these are either duplicates or cans I don't use. And I was like, all right, I gotta work with a contrast, you know, I got yellows and pinks, like let's see what I can do. And dude, honestly, I just, that one I was like, well, I'm comfortable drawing like flowers, not super detailed, but I can at least get the shape of, so people know it's a flower, and then I can just mess around, like work off of that. And
if it was super detailed, I probably wouldn't be
speaking
with you.
Yeah, I didn't want a detail. Too much detail is not my style.
But just the look, though. But like the look, that style, the pop, the it's beautiful. I haven't seen any of your other work that looks in that tone or that light or that.
Thank you. I kind of. That's when I just was like, eh, whatever, and I came inside, and it's funny. We have a big German Shepherd in the backyard, and she always poses in front of my paintings, and I'm like, Emma, come take a picture. And I ended up liking the picture. I kind of zoomed in on it, and I was like, whoa, these colors look cool on the camera versus real life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Most of my stuff looks worse on camera, but that's just because where do you take your pictures? Because I'm always having problems with light and stuff.
I'm sorry, you're always having trouble, like, with the picture, the photo, or?
Yeah, with light, with shading, I go outside in the shadows, I can never get it. That's why my mind always looks better in person. So I'm asking, like, where do you take your pictures for display?
I try to just look, a lot of it has to do with, I like finally could afford and got myself a nice phone, which I have paint all over it, and it's probably not updated and it's really slow, but I try to just really use that to my advantage, having a good quality phone with good pixels, or at least getting, because if you take a blurry photo or whatnot, then that's what people are going to expect. But if you take a clear photo, like the clearest you can, I think that helps out a lot.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do. I mean, you look at some of my pictures, they're not.
But if you
great.
Have the quality,
I have an iPhone 6, but my issue is lighting. I'm just resistant of getting, you know, inside those photography lights. The lights in my house are dim. You know, the light, you know, outside tends to take a nice picture. But I was just wondering where you take yours, if you had any.
Yeah,
tricks.
Usually outside. I like the natural lighting is really good, and then taking a photo, like if it's a smaller photo, I've been painting on some big stuff, so I just take sections of it that I like. But if it's a smaller photo, you just place it down versus trying to hold it and just right above it with your phone, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. So you've worked probably the largest out of any artist that I know.
Scale-wise?
42 feet. Scale-wise, I've never, I don't know any artists that have worked that big. And you also work quite small, like the little house for your brother. So where are you at now? Like, do you prefer to work big, or you just take whatever comes?
I prefer big art just because it's like a job. Like, oh, I'm going to work, mom, and I gotta like grab my backpack, and it's like I gotta put on a harness and go to work. I feel like I almost feel like a construction worker, but for art, and it feels more of like a job. But sometimes when I'm home and I just want to listen to music and not have all the sound around me and the natural lighting, and just kind of, I used to love actually painting on the floor in the kitchen. It's weird, but when everyone would go to sleep, I was like, this is the best place to paint. Like, everyone's in the room sleeping, it's dark, I have the kitchen light on, and I'm just painting
on the floor
because it's space, it's spacious, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love painting on the floor. I'm usually standing at an easel, but my easel can hold up to like 15 feet canvas, so I'm usually working on my easel. Sometimes since I make my canvases, sometimes I'll just put a roll out,
yeah,
and then just do a bunch of canvases, you know, just do a bunch of paintings and then cut them up.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I finally mm-hmm. I begged my mom for an easel all the time. Like, I was like, I just want an easel. And I would look on OfferUp for easels. And then I finally got an easel, and I hate it. I'm like, why did I want this so bad? Like, I can't.
Which one did you
I
get?
I just got a basic, like, tripod-looking one that it's good to take for shows and whatnot. But
it's really thin. The legs are really thin.
Kind of, yeah.
And are they chained together by, like, a real thin gold chain?
No, not the gold chain, but they're kind of like a plastic, like, kind of like a hinge, kind of.
Yeah. Michael sometimes runs a 60% off sale. You can get one there. I've had mine. If I move out of town or whatever, I'll leave my easel, but and then pick up a new one in the new state. But usually I get aluminum, and I just beat the hell out of it, and it just takes it. Aluminum's
nice.
Really
yeah,
great.
Those ones are kind of like heavier, but I know what you mean. I've painted on one, and it's definitely more sturdy, and you can hold heavier canvas, and that's why it's like restricted. If you work on that thin, like you said, the small legs and the thin one that folds out, you barely bump it and there goes your painting like to the side, you know.
I just put one together this morning actually for somebody. It was a wood one. Nice. And it was beautiful. This thing it's the ones where it has like the tracks in the middle, so you can pull up that the tray and it'll go click click click.
Oh,
the tracks.
Nice! I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, pain in the ass to put together, but really cool.
No, those ones are. They feel like really, when they click in, it's like a really sturdy thing. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. It's nicer than mine, and I kind of want it.
That means it's a good gift. You know, when people.
Or
Or a good steal.
True, one way
or
the other.
I might just swap that one day.
That's funny.
Yeah. So if you see, I mean, there's levels to artist skills. And, you know, where we are in the art world, like I said, I mean, you've heard the term emerging, right? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So you consider yourself an emerging artist.
Sounds cool.
What do you consider yourself? I don't know.
Dude, no, I think you're spot on. And a lot of people have been like, whoa, you're doing it. I'm like, no, I'm just getting out there. Like, I've always been doing it, but now I'm kind of emerging is definitely the word. I can't think of I feel like I'm still a student and I'm learning, but I'm also almost the point where I'm going to have my assistants, you know, like I can't wait to do my own mural, but at the same time, I feel like it's the right path. Like, I think I'm on the right path.
Yeah, I can feel that for sure. It's just, it's because it seems like you've sold some stuff, and we still need to even talk about that boombox.
Oh, yeah.
I think, we can go soon, but not without talking about that boombox, seriously.
So the CDs, I went to Bookman's, it's a record store, and she actually called me after the event and was like, hey, this is Lori, the girl I gave you, and you donated, or I donated the CDs to you. She goes, we loved it so much, the idea and the concept of recycling. She's like, can you do one for us? And yeah, oh, I was like, whoa, like, not only did they let me donate, they donated CDs to me for free. They also want to pay me and have me come back as a featured artist to do a, it was like, oh, like, I feel like I won the lottery. Like, I was like, why is all this good luck?
Because
not to be like a, hi, baby, no, but I haven't had good luck in a while, and that was just, like, amazing.
Oh, really? Because it seems like you kind of create your own good luck by putting yourself in situations.
Yeah, I try to stay positive. I know it's, like, so cliche, and everyone's like, ew, you can't always be positive. I'm like, dude, you really can. Like, someone always has it worse than you.
Ew.
It's true, though.
Ew, you can't be positive.
Yeah.
You can't be cool and be positive. You know, when I started painting, I battled with depression. So when I started painting, I was like, I'm going to be dark and I'm going to paint all this dark shit, dark and darker. Yeah. And it's just beautiful colors and flowers and pinks and yellow.
Oh my gosh. Have you seen that meme? It's like, what inspires you as an artist? And then the meme is like depression. And it's just like gangster dude, like putting his like peace sign up. It's so funny. Cause it's true. Like most artists, not pain, or they were drawing in their sketchbook because they were stressed or depressed or had a bad day, and you just get out your sketchbook and kind of like release that depression.
Yeah, and then, but the good thing is, you know, because like I thought, like you, like I thought you had to be like dark and cool to be a cool artist, to get cred and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I see.
Most of the fans on my page are locals. For years, I've been doing this free project. Every year, I hide 100 free paintings around town, and then my fans go and get them. And
that's cool.
Yeah, well, I've actually been kicked out of some galleries for life for doing that because on pickup day, it's so sad, you know, and embarrassing. I don't like picking them up on pickup day if they don't sell. So I just have my fans
go
and grab them off the walls. But I guess for insurance purposes, you're not supposed to do that. You got to kind of get your own. So I just told them, whatever. I don't care. But the point I'm making is that, so I'm making 100 paintings. I can't do 100 on canvas. So they're cardboard, they're wood, all that sort of stuff. And I started to see a trend of my fans. Like I said, I thought I was like, cool. You know, I was like, you know, street cred, graffiti dude. And the majority of my fans, and they're all still on my page is like you, mothers with daughters, but generally more of a soccer mom kind of thing. That's my fan base, soccer moms.
Dude, that's awesome. Any fan's a good fan, and if they support you and they're about your vision, like, I think it's really cool that you're doing podcasts. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, someone asked me to do a podcast, like, you, like, it's a good feeling, you know, like, you have the voice for it, you can kind of, we've never even met, but I mean, reach out to artists that we all have similarities, you know.
Yeah,
and it's cool. I think it's really awesome. I think your podcasts are really cool, and thank you for having me on it.
Okay, so I guess you're gonna go.
No, it's just cool because I've been listening. You know, podcasts are getting big, so I've been listening to them, and it's cool. Your hands free. You can just listen to people talk about the same issues you have in comparison, and it's neat. I like it.
Yeah. Also, like what you're saying earlier. You know, it's art is fun. I say this all the time, everywhere I go. Like, if I go to Michael's and a woman that works there is having a bad day, you know, and she's just going through the motions of checking me out, it's like, yo, man, you work in an art store. Like, it's fun, you know? Like, what could possibly not be fun about this?
Probably the go-backs or something, but the retail part of it. I'm sure she's a good artist, though. But, no, I know what you mean. You could always work at somewhere worse. Like, you could be a garbage man and go pick up garbage every day. You know, like, someone has to do it.
Well,
that'd be cool to interview a garbage guy. I've always wondered their life. Like, do they hate their life, or are they like not having fun, but like, say they've been doing it for a while, like, what are the good parts about it? Well, you know? I actually painted. Sorry. I was assisting a graffiti artist. She goes by Backpack. And
nice.
Me and her painted. Wait, yeah, she's super, dude. She's awesome.
Is she an offer?
No, she's a graffiti artist from New York, and she's in Arizona now. But we were painting a 109-foot mural on a wall behind a coffee shop, and the garbage man came through the alley and dumped the garbage. And I was like, how funny would it be if we put, like, cats, like, splattered on the back of the garbage? So when the garbage man lifts up the trash can, anyone sitting having coffee could see this cat just, like, splat on the back of it, like, smiling. You know
what I
mean?
Yes, I do.
So we actually did that, and it was funny. It was a funny moment. And I think artists, we bring fun. If it's not funny, we bring some type of life into the world versus, like, same day, like, boring gray and black. And it's just life. It's color. It's fun.
I think about my trash collectors a lot too, and
right.
Yeah,
and they have to have some story,
especially with like with the heavy ones. I'm like, how the hell are they gonna pick a trash can full of bricks?
Oh yeah, I always think of like diapers falling out, and like, do they pick them up, or do they hate that they have to pick up, like,
right?
Or people that don't put the recycle in the recycle.
I think there's an unsaid thing where they're allowed to leave a certain amount of diapers around their route. You know what I'm saying?
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know. I always wondered about their job title, or if they're embarrassed, if people are like, what do you do for a living? Like, oh, I'm a trash man or a garbage man.
So much respect there. I actually, for Christmas, this past Christmas, I actually left three paintings. I posted on my page. I left three paintings out there by the garbage. Beautiful paintings, 3 feet. One was 2 feet. One was like 3 feet. And they took them. I don't know. Awesome. I don't know if they went in the back or the front, but they took them.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. Like, where did those end up? You know, like, I've been hiking sometimes, and sometimes me and my mom, we used to do it a lot more, but we'd paint, like, just go hiking and paint.
No.
Paint on a rock or something and leave it there, and whoever finds it, you know, it's just kind of like, hey.
Do you know the rock game?
No.
There's this game, kind of like I just described with my art project, but they do it with rocks. There's a whole Facebook group called The Rock Game. And then you paint a rock, and then you leave it around town, and I guess you take a picture, and then you post it in the group, whatever. Actually, the first interview, Alyssa, she did that with tiles. She painted all these little tiny tiles, like with pizzas on them and different flowers and things. And she.
Yeah, you broke up again. But yeah, that sounds awesome, dude. Any way you can spread art, it's pretty cool. Hello?
Yo.
Hi, sorry, like, cut out right when you were talking.
Yeah, it's a crappy free app. I just started, and I'm going to have to move all these over to
it's
something
good,
better.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, I mean, this has really been taken off. I mean, there's a lot of appointments on the books, and everyone,
awesome.
Yeah, like everyone that I message or that messages me, whatever,
is just like, awesome, dude. Let's do it. So cool. Because you would think artists would be so like introverted that like, they wouldn't want to talk about themselves, but when they know that that they're speaking in a context that is just surrounded, the artists are gonna is gonna sit through and listen to these podcasts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's awesome, dude. It's actually a really good idea, and I think you literally have the perfect like interview voice. It's cool.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I just want everyone to have fun. I want. You know, with the interviewee, Sabri?
Yeah, Sabri, yeah.
Yes! No, I got it wrong.
It's okay. It takes people like three times. It's okay.
Does anyone ever say like the Sabres?
Yes, dude. I get Sabre or Sabretooth Tiger or Sabri. yeah. I get
Sabri, so it's Sabri.
Sabri.
Yeah, yeah. So you've been an absolute pleasure to talk with.
Yeah, dude.
Your
story
is fantastic. You are definitely a lot further ahead than most people in our positions.
Dude, thank
you. even considering you have to work, you have a child. You know,
you.
To be able to organize all that, be able to do what you love, put it out there. You're partnering on two murals. You're gonna have your own mural very soon, obviously. And which is, I know, a life goal of yours.
Yeah.
And I mean, and you're just a wonderful person. And I think when, you know, that's why at the top of my page it says, don't be rude.
I know. But, I love that. I saw that. I think that's a cool, quick quote for people, because there's no point. Like, there's no point.
Yeah. So I've had this page since 2016 or 15, and there has not been one rude person on this page ever.
That's cool.
Yeah,
it's the energy. It's just good vibes, like good energy all the way around. It's a really cool concept that you're doing.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. I'm actually going to be looking to take all these interviews. Nobody knows this, but I'm going to be looking to take all these interviews, put them in one place in an app, and then we'll be able to do searches for specific things within all the interviews.
Oh, that's you know what awesome. I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, this is your documentation.
Yeah,
cool.
So like,
and thanks for having me part of it.
Oh, no problem at all. Well, I could talk to you forever. I'll let you go. Thank you.
I know, I talk a lot, dude. I can go on forever, but.
Thank you so much, Sabri.
Yeah, it was nice meeting you. Thank you.
You have a lovely day.
I look forward to hearing all my mistakes, all my mess ups in this podcast. Thank you so much for having me.
Don't worry about it.
Awesome. Thank you. It was nice meeting you.
Bye. Thanks.